Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, who satisfies the longing soul and the hungry soul fills with good things. Amen. Our text for meditation today comes from the gospel lesson just read, specifically verse 42. Hear again these words. And they all ate and were satisfied. What a simple yet profound statement. This should all ring clear to those of you who joined us last week at the reception. There was so much wonderful food and fellowship. I'm sure we all ate and were satisfied. Last I heard, about 120 people joined us for that event. So think about it. In our text, 5,000 men, plus the 12 apostles and Jesus, all ate their fill on just 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Now, the feeding of the 5,000 is a very important miracle, as it is one of the few events that are told in all 4 Gospels. And it seems to have a focus on food, yet there is so much more here than that first meets the eyes. Over the past few weeks, we have been working through Mark's gospel. 2 weeks ago, Jesus sent out the 12 apostles that were in order to proclaim the life-changing power of Jesus. Certainly, lives were changed. The people the apostles went to were called to repent and to turn from their sins. Demons were cast out and sicknesses were healed. Another person's life was changed. John the Baptist was beheaded. His life was ended at the hands of Herod for proclaiming repentance. Now, Pastor Stanton did a great job when he preached last week on Herod's case of mistaken identity. And this is an intense interlude that's injected into the middle of our story, and it really seems out of place. But it provides a perfect contrast between the evil desires of the sinful man, Herod, and the perfect compassion of the God-man, Jesus. Our text picks up today at the return of the apostles. We're not told exactly how long the apostles were out on their mission, but it was long enough that they returned exhausted and hungry. Although they needed rest, a large crowd followed them, who themselves had their own needs. Our text today shows us that all of our needs are satisfied in Christ. So Christ certainly knows that we have needs. First, he knows that we have physical needs, as our text states. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Christ knows that they need leisure and food. He knows that they need rest and to eat. And he cares that they have not had a chance to do either up to this point. So, at the encouragement of Jesus, the group hopped into their boat and headed to a place away from the hustle and bustle of their vocations. This is quite comforting to me as your new pastor. I want and plan to share in all the blessed beginnings and tearful ends, the baptisms, weddings, and funerals, the feasts and festivals of the church year. I will proclaim Christ and him crucified the entire time. But Christ wants us to find rest from our work, so I will have to remember to step away and rest. This I'll have to take into consideration as I plan my office hours, days off, and vacations. In the text, the work came first, and then the rest. This is true for all vocations. God provides us with our various vocations that let us earn a living, as it's put. The apostles preached. Paul was a tent maker. Luke was a physician. You too have that vocation that helps provide for your needs, sometimes paid, sometimes not. Yet the Lord has us pray for daily bread in his prayer. Luther sees this as including everything that has to do with the support and needs of the body, such as food, drink, clothing, shoes, house, home, land, animals, money, goods, a devout husband or wife, devout children, devout workers, devout and faithful rulers, good government, good weather, peace, health, self-control, good reputation, good friends, faithful neighbors, and the like. This is most certainly true, but as we can see, daily bread also includes spiritual needs. So next, Christ knows that we have spiritual needs. Our text continues, "When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things." You may or may not be aware or have heard this before, but sheep are not very intelligent creatures. Without a shepherd, they would get lost, and they would not be able to find food or water. They would be attacked by predators. They would inevitably die. Jesus did not want this to happen to these people, so he fed them. He gave them his word. He taught them. And he does this for us today as well. He provides under-shepherds to guide his people. He teaches us that he is the way so that we do not get lost and follow false religions. He teaches us that he is the truth, so we do not fall prey to the predatory lies of the devil. He teaches us that he is the life, so that we do not fear death. He assures us this with his suffering and death on the cross, the good shepherd that lays his life down for his sheep, and he proves his victory by rising on the third day. Finally, after many hours of teaching, the physical needs return, as everyone has become hungry. This is the cycle of life. Our needs change throughout the day. The apostles notice it is getting late. Maybe the crowd began to grumble about being hungry. Maybe it was the apostles' stomachs that grumbled. Either way, the apostles approach Jesus about the need, but Christ already knows about this need and has a plan to satisfy it. Christ could have just snapped his finger and made the hunger go away, but instead he uses physical elements and a miracle to satisfy these needs. He also uses this as a lesson for the apostles, but also for us. We are to rely on him for the fulfillment of our needs. This lesson started earlier in the chapter when the Lord sent out the 12. The only provisions the apostles were allowed to take were a staff, a pair of sandals, and a single tunic. They were told to leave behind bread, bags, and money. This exercise was to show the apostles that they should rely on Christ for their needs and that they would receive their daily bread through the proclamation of his word. Though there would be some who would reject it, the power of Christ would work through the people's hearts, and the generosity of the faithful hearers would provide for the needs of the apostles. This is exactly what happened. All 12 returned alive and well. Yet, as it seems to be in the scriptures, the lesson does not stick for very long as the apostles try to find a solution for the needs of the hungry people. But Christ once again reminds them that they are to rely on him. Our text states, "But he answered them, 'You give them something to eat.' And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they had found out, they said, "Five and 2 fish." The apostles are concerned with food and want to send this crowd, this flock of lost sheep, off to fend for themselves. So Jesus turns it around on them and tells them to feed the people. They are going to be Jesus' under-shepherds, right? They just returned from a mission where they took very little, but had all their needs met, did they not? Yet, they still don't get that Jesus will satisfy their needs and the needs of the crowd. Instead, they wonder about how much money that may or may not take to feed the crowd, even if it's only a small morsel apiece. This is the typical reaction of a sinful heart. We often try to rely on our own works and resources. There will be times where you will be presented with opportunities to serve your neighbor, and there will be temptations to send them off to someone else, to the government or to some other organization. You should help them as you are able to, and pray that the Holy Spirit open up moments for you to proclaim what Christ has done for you on the cross and the peace that his work brings. Yet, we don't always love our neighbors as ourselves. This and many other sins will plague your conscience. The devil will whisper, "Try just a little harder. You can overcome this." Do not listen. Turn instead to Christ. Confess your sins. Receive his forgiveness and rely on his strength. In his death on the cross, Christ paid for all your sins. He has defeated sin, death, and the devil. Our Lord has already given us the important provisions we need to cover the needs in this life and has laid them out before us. The greatest way Christ satisfies our needs is through his word and his sacraments. Certainly, the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 was to show the apostles that Jesus is God and thus has full control over all creation and their needs. It was recorded in Holy Scriptures for all of us to believe this as well. There are some wonderful underlying details that point to the other ways that God satisfies our needs. Mark writes, Then he commanded them to all sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties. Mark is the only gospel writer to specifically mention green grass and brings out the number of people that would be in each group. These details take our minds to God's work in the church. How is that pointing to the church, I hear you ask? Well, the green grass is imagery taken from Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters." The green pasture is where the shepherd feeds and tends to his sheep. He feeds them and leads them to water. The church is the place where Christ cares for his people. He feeds them his word and his body and blood in the supper. He leads them to the still waters of their baptism, where we are made children of God. And he continues to do this today here at Risen Savior. Now, the groups of hundreds and fifties point to the organization of Christ's church. There are the saints here. There are the saints at Holy Cross that will be receiving a new shepherd today. There are saints all across the world. We are all part of the one holy Christian and apostolic church. Now Mark continues, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing, and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided 2 fish among them all. Obviously, this event takes place before the institution of the Lord's Supper, and the fish aren't really a component used. But the words here, take, bless, break, can point our minds to the institution of the supper. It shows us that our Lord miraculously feeds his people and fulfills their needs through these physical means. Mark concludes, and they all ate and were satisfied, and they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish, and those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. The 12 baskets left over show God's provisions for his people as they go out into their vocations. The 12 once again see that God can and will provide for their needs. The baskets were essentially luggage that Jews would have carried at the time to bring along their supplies. So now each apostle has had their supplies filled to the brim for the journey ahead. Their needs were satisfied for the foreseeable future. Through our service today, from hearing the word and partaking in the Lord's Supper, we all are having our spiritual needs fulfilled so that we can go out into our vocation and serve the Lord in gladness. Really, this whole event points towards the new heavens and new earth, where need will not exist. We will be eternally satisfied by the feast of the Lamb. Christ will return. The old heaven and old earth will pass away. A new heaven and new earth will be put in place. And you, dear Christian, will receive a new, perfect body. There will no more be need, because there will be no more sickness or death. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I certainly have had many of my needs fulfilled by being called here as your pastor. I look forward to growing in faith in Christ and in love for one another together. To God be all the glory. He fulfills all our needs, both spiritually and physically, as our hymn put it, "My Lord, you here have led me to this most holy place, and with yourself had fed me the treasures of your grace. For you have freely given what earth could never buy, the bread of life from heaven, that now I shall not die. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen." Please stand. The peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.